This is a podcast from ABC Overnights. Here's Trevor Chappell.
Tom Cushing, Overnight Film Reviewer. Hello, Tom.
Hello, how are you going?
You can explain why we're investigating parenting this morning.
Oh, that's a tribute to young Hugo Lee Cushing, who is my son, who was born 3 weeks ago. So you can't see in the studio right now, but I am a ragged mess who's been up for three straight weeks trying to work out how to be a parent. So I'm hoping that you can all teach me through movies, the only language I understand.
I'm concerned. Are you waiting for him to start talking very early?
I'm concerned for a boss baby or look who's talking scenario where he's talking right off the bat. It's my greatest fear.
Which films have you... Because when I think of parenting, I think of that film Parenthood, which takes a look at varying types of families and bringing them up. And I think there's some great stuff in that film. Mm,
yeah, absolutely. That sort of mix of... That very strange thing that family can do, where it can make you strong and you know, and fill you with joy, and also make you the pettiest, meanest possible person. The way it can both evolve and regress you.
And with all of those things as well, but there's different types of families and different problems in different families,
yeah.
And how you can't fix everything in families as well. The one thing that I still remember, you know, the little boy who loves putting buckets on his head and smacking his head against walls and things like that?
Yeah.
You just sit there and go, yeah, I can sort of understand that too.
As a kid, I threw myself against walls and all sorts of things. And there's a point at which you have to say, I guess that's just the hand you're dealt, isn't it? I'm also hoping not to have a Rosemary's Baby or the Omen kind of situation. Just trying to steer clear of that best I can.
Just stay well away from railings and anything like that and small push bikes.
That's right, yeah.
And you should be pretty safe. As a new parent, as you look at, especially babies in films, because we've talked about the ones that talk early, what are the films that you remember with babies in them?
Oh.
Because I was trying to think hard about babies in films, and you only come up with nasty ones quite often.
Well, I think of things like Baby's Day Out. Or something about this sort of the Mr. Magoo as a baby kind of aspect of, you know, babies kind of just crawling around and almost getting destroyed, which is no longer funny to me. That fills me with an utter dread, the idea of my baby being out in the city.
That's the other thing, is it changes your perspective when you actually have children actually take a look at the films where you have children but depicted within them as well.
Every Roald Dahl film, I feel like now, I'm just going to think of, you know, those poor parents. Those poor, like, what did that kid do to make those parents so mean?
Deb's pointed out a great, there are plenty of ideas of ways not to be parenting through film.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there are too many depictions of good parenting through films, because if you have a look at things, they either leave children behind, put them in precarious situations.
That's drama, yeah.
To create drama.
Yeah. Or there's intense conflict, which is funny. Yeah. I think of every Wes Anderson film is a study in how in broken families.
Oh, give us an example.
Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, of course.
The Darjeeling Limited, about brothers struggling to reconnect after the death of their father. Fantastic Mr. Fox, about a father and son who struggle to connect.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You don't want to know about those.
No, it's all running around, yeah.
John, good morning.
G'day. I haven't actually done this, but Home Alone, eh? I mean, in a big family, it wouldn't be hard to all jump in the car, right, we're going down the beach, and then you get to the beach and you're left one home.
See, this is the thing, is the whole idea of actually leaving one behind.
Mm-hmm.
This, I guess, with one, you can't, well, though, you can leave one behind.
If you're just incredibly selfish, I would be so proud of my son if a bunch of thieves tried to break in and he heated up the doorknobs so that they roasted their hands, so that he set up buckets of paint to swing down and smash them in the face. I would be full of pride.
Jimmy.
G'day, Trev. How are you, mate?
Good, Jimmy.
Tom.
Hey, Jimmy.
Three men and a baby.
Oh, yes, okay.
My son was born around about the same time that movie came out. And if you remember the things where one of them had to change the baby's nappy, and he's like, I'll give you 10 grand if you do it for me.
That's right.
And I laughed so hard at that movie because all the things that they were doing in that movie, was what I'd just done with my son.
Mm. These are the things, and it's a great example, Jimmy, of the things that you learn from watching film.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'd already learned it. I just knew what they were going to cop.
Exactly. Would you have given 10 grand?
Easily.
Maybe a couple $100. I don't know about 10 grand.
$5. At that point, I had so little regard for getting biohazardous material all over me.
Kramer versus Kramer, good example of parenting, not so good example of other parts as far as the relationship
marriage,
are concerned.
Yeah.
So we'll forget the marriage side and we'll talk about the parenting side. Good morning, Dave.
Morning, Tom.
Or there might also be examples of things that you shouldn't do in parenting from watching a movie.
Yeah, I think Look Who's Talking.
Okay, now what could you have possibly gleaned or learned from Look Who's Talking?
I thought it was funny how Bruce Willis portrayed what the baby was actually thinking.
Yeah. I can't remember. I don't remember Look Who's Talking.
Does Look Who's Talking? I'm trying to remember. Look Who's Talking. I don't think the baby's lips move or anything. It's like weird inner monologue, right?
Yeah, it was John Travolta was the stepdad,
yep.
And Kirstie Alley was the mum, and Bruce Willis done the voice of the baby.
Jeez, that's a very 90s sentence. My son's not going to understand who any of these people are.
Can you imagine, though, like if you're sitting down doing the casting for this, like who will we have as the baby's voice? Bruce Willis?
Bruce Willis says he won't come to set, but he will call us from his bathroom on the phone and we can record his dialogue. Oh, done. He's in the movie.
Good on you, Dave. Thank you. The Fockers?
Meet them.
Meet them, as far as parenting is concerned. I always loved my favourite thing in the Fockers, is meeting the Fockers, was their tribute to him
mm-hmm.
and their loving tribute to him in the fact that he never won anything, but they had a delightful tribute to all of his lasts and second lasts and common and special commendation awards that he'd received,
mm-hmm.
which is a very good example of parenting. Because you, no matter how much they lose at things, you always think they're just the best.
Well, I'm from the self-esteem generation where we all got trophies, so I identify with that, and I've achieved nothing. So I don't, you know, who knows?
What generation is that again?
Generation me? I don't know. All I know is every time I read the paper that editorialists are very angry at my generation about not buying more houses. Sorry.
I Am Sam is a great example and a wonderful film about parenting.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the... I still cry when I watch I Am Sam from when the film starts.
Yeah.
Because I know what's going to happen.
It's such a great example of, like... It's a film all about his generosity of spirit and, like, you know, what he lacks in other areas. But then kind of coming to terms with the idea that the family unit is about what you can do as a team together. It's not about, you know, one person, you know, holding everything together. Like him and his daughter together are kind of this beautiful team, and the world can't see that from the outside because of his disability.
And at the same time, though, recognises that as a parent, and it doesn't matter if it's a person with a disability, you can't necessarily do everything by yourself.
No.
And sometimes you need help. And I just thought it was a beautiful example of how I'm getting a bit thingy now. Just thinking
you, I can see that, yeah.
I honestly think that's one of the best films that I've ever seen. And if people have never seen I Am Sam, then you should go out and get it now.
Yeah, it's very moving.
Chris, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Yes, Chris.
I was thinking about Mrs. Doubtfire. I think it was the penultimate the way that the movie was done about how much... Robin Williams, but Mrs. Doubtfire wanted to spend time with his kids. I thought it was just wonderfully done.
And for people who are in that situation, and fathers in that situation,
yeah.
it's actually a really sad film in a lot of ways, Chris.
That's one of those films that's a little bit misremembered where you think of that, you know, the funny scene where he's running between in the, you know, the dinner scene and he's having to change, and that's all part of the film. But it's also a very, very sort of melancholy look at, you know, fathers who become estranged from their children but don't want to be, and sort of fighting to get some sort of representation. It's very sad.
Yeah.
It was a comedy, but it had a very good serious line behind it that... Mm. You know, gave sort of an example into fathers who get lost in that situation where they want to spend time with their kids and they can't. And
yeah, and for people,
because
for people who've been through that, I think that fathers who watch that film, Chris, again, it's one that would actually get a bit teary watching it.
Yes, I think it was just the way the movie was done. It was just the way it looked into it, and the comedy, the whole lot of it. I think it was just a really well done film.
It was very clever in that regard, and as you said, Tom, probably not looked at as much as should have been looked at as far as a very clever film in that regard.
Yeah,
but it also did a good job in looking at both sides. I not only looked at the Robin Williams character as the father's side, but also at the mother's side as well.
You could see why this wasn't a film about a woman trying to take her kids away from her father. It's the story about, you know, when a divorce happens or a split and sort of those cultural forces that push these people apart, how hard it is to hold a family unit together.
Hmm.
It's a really lovely film.
Oh, it's a great film, that one. Vivian, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Vivian.
My nomination is Parenthood.
Yeah.
With Steve Martin, Rick Moranis. Yeah.
Which part of Parenthood did you really enjoy? Because there were probably, three families highlighted?
Three families. I can't remember her name. Is it Diane Weiss?
Yeah.
And Keanu Reeves was dating a daughter, and there was the son, Gary.
Yep.
And Gary was having problems.
Yes, exactly.
But
not really problems. It was really just who to talk to about it.
Yeah. my children actually took a lot out of Parenthood, because every time I make a stupid statement, they say, "Look, there's Grandma on the roller, or life's like a roller coaster."
Can you remember that quote? Because that is my favourite line from that film.
She says to Steve Martin, you know, or Grandma says, life is like a roller coaster. There's ups and downs. And he says, if she's so smart, what's she doing sitting in the neighbour's car?
That's exactly right. She comes out with this really wise statement and then is sitting outside the neighbour's car. It was one of my favourite moments from that film.
Yeah, I just thought all the families were really good, like Rick Moranis, who wanted to produce the Einstein child.
Yep.
And had her doing maths at about 2. Meanwhile, Steve Martin's child has got his head in a bucket, banging it against the wall.
The other one suffering from anxiety and thinking that he can solve it by being the number one dad.
Yeah.
And all of those things. And as you mentioned, the other characters with the older children. And that also investigates the whole issue as far as separated parents are concerned as well.
Yeah.
Again, another very deep but funny film.
Yeah, I just, as I said, it's one of my favourites. My kids use the quotes from it all the time to actually make fun of me, but because I'm the grandma sitting in somebody else's car.
Well, that means, see, that's what Tom has to get used to as well, as being laughed at as a parent.
Yep.
My son's going to think I'm cool, and he's going to want to know about all the pop culture I like, and he's going to like all my opinions.
Yeah, that'll work up to about 14. And then you'll be cool no more. Mm. Hello, Rob.
Hi, how are you, gentlemen?
Good, Rob.
Well, good. I just wanted to mention a movie from back in the 70s with John Mallion called The Fourth Wish.
Tell us about it, because I think I remember a bit about it, but Tom's, like, squinting a little bit. What is it?
Before his generation. John Mallion was a single father with a son dying of leukemia.
Yep.
And he was trying to carry out the wishes of this child before he died to give him what he wanted. And I don't remember the full movie. It's a long time ago now. I was a bit younger then. But I always remember it was a very powerful movie and a father that just loved his son so much, wanting to do whatever he could for him.
John Mallion was a really good actor.
He was wonderful, yeah.
And probably didn't quite get the... You probably wouldn't remember John Mallion very well.
I don't know.
Look him up, because as an actor, he's an absolutely superb actor. Annie and Busselton has suggested Little Miss Sunshine.
Sure, yeah.
Which you've not only got... Again, like a grandfather with a cocaine problem, but also telling her, his granddaughter, to not be caught up in the whole idea of the glitz and the glamour, but to be true to herself. And I think that's one of my favourite relationships in that film, is the grandfather and the granddaughter.
Yeah.
All the way through that.
And it's a very sweet. It's funny. I feel like with you know, with some of the things in the news, one of the sorts of relationships that gets short shrift now, and not just in film, but in life as well, is this idea that you know, between you know, an older generation, like grandparents, and their and the kids.
Mm.
Like the idea that, you know, an older man and a very young boy could have something to share and have a friendship, you know. I remember that was important to me as a kid, and I'm always very moved when I see that in movies.
Oh, I can remember Finn with his grandfather. I was looking at him one day standing up from a chair at the age of 3 or something, and him putting his hands on his knees and pushing himself up when he stood up.
Yeah.
Which he got from his grandfather, because that's how his grandfather stood up. There are all of those little things that you see, and I think that that's from that film, from Little Miss Sunshine. That came through beautifully,
mm-hmm.
that relationship.
And also just another example of a family in which every person is kind of slightly broken, but as a unit. You know, when they can work together, they can sort of triumph.
And what a great, because a lot of, what a great thing for people to see, because there are so many depictions in film of perfect families, in inverted commas,
mm-hmm.
but it really shows that most families are a little bit broken. All families have got that little bit in there somewhere, but it's okay to be like that. And that was one of the great things that came out of Little Miss Sunshine as well.
Yeah, I think that's my favourite kind of depiction of family, where it's kind of a celebration of that. And it's kind of the messiness is kind of part of the point of life. You know?
Exactly. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, and congratulations, and welcome to Parenthood, Tom.
Thank you very much.
That's good. I got two to mention. The first one is Blow, with Johnny Depp playing the lead character, George, who drug dealer. Sorry, you go.
I was about to say, I've never caught the end of that film, but I assume you're telling me that I should become a huge cocaine dealer and that it all works out really well for me?
No. I was mainly just bringing to point out the relationship between him and his own dad, played by Ray Liotta. I really admired that loyalty that his father had to him, no matter what. You know, contrasting his mother in the whole movie. You know, apparently it was all true stories and stuff like that. But I really liked the father that Ray Liotta was able to play in that movie. I always kind of remember that for some reason. The other one was Dan in Real Life, a Steve Carell movie. It's one of those. I don't, if anyone hasn't seen it, it's one of those movies that if my partner and I have nothing to watch at home, we always just chuck that one on, because it's just a really good feel good movie to watch all the time. We always aspire to be the grandparents in that movie, like later on in life, like where all the kids come together on special occasions and stuff like that, and just really nice.
Isn't that one of the great things in film that it does is depicts loyalty really well, and it becomes an important part of films, that loyalty works well just about every time.
Yeah, exactly.
I love loyalty in films.
Oh, well, sorry, we took a weird dramatic pause there.
Yeah, well, it is, but it's like that, though.
And it's very much that whole, you know, families can fight, you know, there can be a lot of infighting, and, you know, you can have your own individual issues, but if an outside force tries to, you know, take someone in, that they all defend, you know, that's a very big theme.
In fact, if you look at it, if you're ever going to get a tearjerker from a film, but for all sorts of reasons, it could be loyalty, it could be sadness, there are all sorts of things. It's always family stuff that'll work really, really well,
mm-hmm.
especially loyalty stuff. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. 9R, The Winslow Boy, and Cheaper by the Dozen.
Cheaper by the Dozen's always worth a good laugh, isn't it?
It certainly is. Yes, especially Clifton Webb. I love him in that part.
I don't know if it's an accurate depiction of parenting.
No, probably. Then again, the lady who wrote the book, she was a time and motion expert, I believe.
Is that right?
So there you go.
So how do we actually make things work with a large family?
With a large family, I think monetarily you may not always be terribly wealthy, but I think you're very wealthy in lots of other respects.
My wife is very excited about having 11 more children.
She said that's it.
We've just done it once, and we just thought, let's just do that 11 more times.
maybe you could just get 11 foster children. And yeah. Sort of like skip the other part.
Yeah, sure. Well, let's just get 11 adults and skip the entire experience. And they can just be 12 adults being nice to each other.
A few people have said world according to Garp. What according to Garp? I'm just trying to... 'cause that finished with them setting up their own little hospital, didn't it?
Oh, God, I don't remember.
I'm just trying to remember how that finished. Good morning, Paul.
Morning, Trevor. Good morning, Tom.
Morning.
An iconic parenting movie, Smiley Gets a Gun.
Is this like for, like, as far as providing firearms for small children?
Yeah, teaching them that if they, you know, do the odd job to earn a bit of money, like smuggling opium for a dealer. And,
how does Smiley Gets a Gun keep getting brought up on this program?
Always.
Every time I hear Smiley Gets a Gun.
Yep. He has to earn money, so he does all the odd jobs, and it teaches the kid the values of work and, you know, the values of a reward. You get a gun.
Yeah, well, I don't know about getting a gun, but it does actually do very well, that idea of that type of parenting, though, to make sure that kids understand the value of the jobs that they do.
Mm.
Yeah, but no one's touched on the worst possible parenting movie of all time.
Yeah.
I've rang about it before, my all-time favourite, Bad Boy Bubby.
Yeah, no, there were many texts sent through on Bad Boy Bubby, but I did choose to ignore them, Tom.
Trev was determined to not have Bad Boy. Bad Boy Bubby is his Smiley Gets a Gun.
Hello, Sue.
Oh, g'day, Trevor and Tom. Oh, it's been wonderful sitting here listening to all these people calling it. But my nomination is The Castle.
Oh, absolutely.
As an example of good parenting.
Yeah. Well, a cozy, happy home until they had this situation where the house was going to be taken over or bought. But the respect that the father had for the mother, she could put together mashed potato and rissoles and he'd say, oh, that's the best meal ever. And then...
What do they call this?
Yes. And then when the son found something to buy in the paper, tell him he's dreaming.
Dale dug a hole.
I can't remember the whole, but I do recall that warm feeling of the whole family together, even the daughter when she was married, brought the hubby home. They sat round at night and talked, and there was some sort of solidarity there in that family.
Do you know, it's the kitchen table of that film that I always remember. I'm not a huge fan of The Castle, but I always remember that kitchen table.
Oh, yeah, lots of lovely home-cooked food and great discussion around the table, and Dad was sort of the font of wisdom in the family.
Oh, if only.
Yeah. And one other one, while I've been waiting, not Australian movie, is The Family Stone.
Oh, yeah, with Sarah Jessica Parker, Luke Wilson, yeah.
Yeah, the interesting scenario over the Christmas time. Anyway, it's been great listening to everyone calling in.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
Bye. Someone's asked if The Godfather's out of the question.
The Godfather is not out of the question. I'm hoping that my son does not murder his brother. Spoilers for The Godfather.
Good morning, George.
How are you, sir?
Yes, George.
Tom, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so at the end of the day, you've got to go with Sigourney Weaver's Aliens movie.
Parenting?
Yeah, When Kids Go Wild, all right? So,
is that what you've learned from Alien?
Yeah, well, the kids just go burkos, eh?
What, like the Alien?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
I thought you might have gone Terminator 2 there, but we went...
No. Plus also the diapers.
Yeah.
Learn to breathe through the mouth.
So I'm getting a lot of this advice. I think I might just give up on breathing altogether. That's all right.
I don't know if breathing through the mouth would be sort of better. Bob, good morning.
G'day, fellas. Look, I can't believe people haven't talked about my favourite movie I watched 20 times, Step Brothers.
Oh, that is a great example of blended families.
Blended family, yeah. Oh. Mate, I could watch it again right now.
If my son is as dumb as that, I'm gonna leave him in a Woolworths.
Hey, look, I've got two kids at home that are 28 and 24, and they don't look like leaving.
So you're not looking at them with that film in mind, eh?
No. But
geez, I hope they don't share a room.
No, they don't.
I still think the funniest scene out of Step Brothers was the when they decided to build their own beds and create a double bunk bed.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm obsessed with the sequence with that horrible other family with Adam Scott as the father, where he forces his family to sing Sweet Child of Mine a cappella.
Oh, you just won't believe it. Today I just watched a video of my daughter singing it in the car. That's her favourite song she sings, and she sings it in a cappella.
Horrifying.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Animal Kingdom?
No, absolutely not.
That's been put forward. Oh, dear. So there you go. That's all you need to know.
Oh, now I know how to be a parent. Thank you, everyone.
It's all covered. It's all set out. So you guys will be fine.
Yeah.
Good old Hugo. Good on you. Thanks, Tom. Tom Cushing, Overnight's film reviewer. You're listening to Overnight's on ABC Radio.